is Christian Questions.
Doug Larson once said, more marriages might survive if the partners realized that sometimes the better comes after the worse. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Kathy, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, christianquestions.net.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Kathy.
And you're not Jonathan.
No, I'm not. I'm missing him, though.
Kathy, it's good to have you here. We want to welcome you all to this hour of our program. We're glad you've chosen to spend some time with us. Jonathan is out of town this weekend, taking care of his parents. And so he's doing a good thing.
Yes, he is.
And so, Kathy, welcome. We're glad to have you here sitting in Jonathan's seat. Is it warm yet?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
And Kathy, what is our subject this morning?
This morning's question is, are there secrets to staying in love?
And the theme text?
1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered.
So there's our subject, there's our text, and actually before we get started, Kathy, who are you? we've known you for a long time.
I have been a student of the Bible for about 13 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And what else do you want to know?
Well, you you meet with the Bible group that Jonathan meets with.
Yes, I do.
And you've actually co-hosted once with us, I think, once or twice. Long time ago.
It's probably been a few years now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, folks want to know, well, who's this person, Kathy? And, you know, where's Jonathan? And you are married.
I am married.
And you have children.
I have a lot of children and a grandchild. Yes.
All right. So this subject then will fit right down your alley about secrets to staying in love.
And there are.
There are. Yeah. Are you an expert?
I'm working on it.
All right.
I asked my husband, and we talked about this, and I said, so what are the secrets to staying in love? He said, ignore your wife. But you know, that's really true.
Oh, jeez, okay.
No. You ignore the bad parts.
Okay. You have to call. Folks, this is going to be interesting. Stay with us for 2 hours this morning. Look, Valentine's Day is just a few days away. Another opportunity to outwardly express your love and devotion to that special someone. What if every day was such an opportunity? What if we, instead of using a holiday as an excuse to be self-absorbed for the other 364 days of the year, what if we used each day of the year as a reason to outwardly express our true devotion to that special someone? Folks, stay with us this morning as we look into love and marriage and the truly unique and important role that they play in our lives. Once again, the subject, love and marriage, are there secrets to staying in love? If you have a thought, give us a call at 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website is christianquestions.net. All right, Kathy, let's get started. What is the marriage institution all about? Let's start with that question and do a little bit of history on marriage itself. So if you want to get history on marriage, you probably should go back to the first one.
I think that sounds like a good idea. And that first marriage happened in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 25, then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner. So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner.
Okay, so let's pause there, because what we're seeing is there is a very conspicuous absence. Adam is created, and all of the animal kingdom was actually there beforehand, and Adam is sort of the crowning touch on this animal kingdom. Then all of the animal kingdom already had their mates, and they were there to share that garden with Adam.
Right.
So they're there, and you have this beautiful environment, and they're brought to Adam, and he names them. So you can see there's this connection between, you know, it's kind of like a Dr. Doolittle connection, you know, times 20. He's got this connection with the animals. They were a joy to him, but there was an absence. Adam was not complete.
It wasn't enough.
It wasn't. There was something else that needed to be added. And, you know, we're going to look at this and the reasons for why God would have done that. But let's pause before we finish the reading. And let's go to a soundbite here. This is a soundbite from, you can find it on joelandkathy.com. Not this Kathy. another
Thank
Kathy.
Goodness.
And this was, this man Joel is speaking. He's at a 3-day marriage seminar conducted by Dr. Paul Hagstrom. And he has issues. He's listening to the seminar, and as you listen to this soundbite, we're going to hear some of the issues. We're going to come back to him a few times and sort of see how the story unfolds. But it's a very interesting thing to put in right at the beginning of our discussion.
When we landed in Colorado, and Dr. Paul Hagstrom started to talk about the man's responsibility in marriage to love his wife and lay his life down for her and listen to her heart and meet her needs. I sat there for about a day. And the next morning, 10 o'clock in the morning comes, and I just couldn't stand it any longer. And I stopped the class. I raised my hand. I said, Dr. Hagstrom, this is wonderful. We talked all day yesterday about the man's responsibility in marriage. And this morning we opened up with that. When are we going to talk about the wife? He says, we'll get to that later. Okay.
So he's got an issue.
Well, you can see he's clearly not happy because he is not focusing on himself. He
right.
wants to fix his wife.
So, right, because, you know, she must be broken or something. So let's take that thought and let's put it back on the shelf for now and come back to it. But the whole point of that is sometimes we look at our lives and our marriages and we look at it exactly that way.
Yes.
You know, if you would only,
right,
then I can.
Mm-hmm.
So give that thought, think that thought, put it on the shelf, and we'll come back to that. Let's go back now to this conspicuous absence in Genesis where Adam is in the presence of this beautiful garden with all of these animals, and it is a peaceful, serene, and tranquil environment, but something is missing. What does God do?
So picking up in Genesis verse 21, so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to man. Then the man said, this is at last bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of the man this one was taken. Therefore, a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed.
So you have this, and to me, this is a very, very touching event happening, because Adam sees someone that looks very much like him, but is also very different.
And it was a blessing from God. That was the purpose, so that Adam wouldn't be alone.
And she was taken from him. And so there is a connection that's undeniable that was different. There was a wonderful connection he has with the animals. But that is a secondary kind of a thing when you see the connection that's developed here. And that's why the scripture says that therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and he clings to his wife. And just a couple of thoughts. When you think about that, Kathy, he clings to his wife. What does that mean to you?
That he would stay very close to her, stick to her, and not be separated no matter what.
And it's interesting that the way the scripture describes it is you leave your father and mother, and you cling to your wife.
Ooh.
So, and that gives you a sense of the permanence of that connection, because, you know, at growing up as a child, to a child, the most important thing are their parents. And you grow up and you get to a point of maturity and you look at the situation you're in and say, okay, now I have chosen to change what's most important in my life. And how often does it not quite follow through, that change?
This is somewhere along the line, they lose their focus.
And perhaps stay a little bit too much clingy to what was instead of what is. And folks, that's really what we want to get to. You know, the question is, are there secrets to staying in love? And we're actually discovering one of those secrets right here when we look at the very first marriage and this idea of clinging to your wife, leaving your father and mother. And that also kind of implies leaving everything else.
Right. You know, it reminds me of one of God's commandments that we not covet. And how we don't covet other things is that we work really hard to want what we have. And what you have is, you know, in front of you. And it is that wife or that husband that God put you with.
So to want what you have sometimes is hard, but that's what that commandment's all about. Good point. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website is christianquestions.net. Kathy, let's go to another soundbite. You know, the first one was a guy who's got issues. This next one, and we'll come back to a few of these, this is Bill and Kay. They've been married for 43 years. We found this on YouTube under the heading Best Marriage Advice I've Ever Heard. And it just gives a sense of their perspective after 43 years of marriage, what's important. Let's listen.
Well, every time, if you have a disagreement or a problem, you correct it before you go to bed. And then you never wake up and with a carryover. Mm-hmm. And that is, to me, always been good advice. I'm not sure that Kay and I have always followed that. But, you know, well, most of the time we have.
It's a piece of very sound advice.
You know, it's really hard to do. And I was thinking about this. And for me, I think a lot of times when those kind of big problems come up, I at least work to let go of the negative feelings. Let go of your anger before going to bed. You can't always fix the problem before to bed, but you can fix yourself. You can get rid of all the yuck inside of you.
And so that's sort of making the problem something that can be put on a shelf instead of it stuck to you.
Right.
So what you want clinging to you is your husband or your wife, not your problem.
Right.
All right. Kathy, let's sum up very quickly the Genesis scripture. Couple of points here. First, go ahead.
The noticeable absence of the woman revealed the emptiness man had without her.
So you have the fact that there is something missing. God did it purposely so Adam would see what was missing. What's the next one?
God's creation of woman from man gives a sense of equality and companionship.
There was not one over the other at the very beginning. That came later. There was equality and there was a definite companionship. What else?
This is at last, bone of my bone, Adam's companionship desire now fulfilled.
Because he had the companionship of the animals, but it was different. This was on an entirely different level.
Therefore, a man leaves his home and clings, implies a lifelong devotion.
And that's really one of the another secret of staying in love is understanding it is a lifelong devotion. And then the last point?
They become one flesh, inseparable and united in every way.
So, folks, we're talking about, are there secrets to staying in love? We're looking at what it takes to really make a marriage work, and we're just getting warmed up.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, here with Rick. We're talking about, are there secrets to staying in love? Coming up, are there loopholes in marriage vows?
Ooh.
Stay with us.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, here with Rick. Our subject today, are there secrets to staying in love? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website is christianquestions.net.
And Jonathan is out of town today. He is down in Delaware taking care of his parents.
Yes.
So you have graciously offered to sit in his seat.
You have graciously invited me.
And it's a great subject to have a female perspective. We're talking about love and marriage. And, of course, you know, when it's Jonathan and I, typically we do a program near Valentine's Day every year on love and marriage. And I get to tease him and call him the love doctor. but he's not here. So having the female perspective really, really does fit. And as a matter of fact, we've got some really, really cool things coming up, folks. So you want to stay with us as long as you possibly can. There's some great stuff coming up in terms of the practical application of this love and marriage thing that we're talking about. All right. So at the end of the hour, Kathy, you said something about, are there loopholes in the marriage vow? So
it seems to be, if you look around today.
Well, and you're right. You look around today, and the statistics, sadly, are pretty much one in two marriages end in divorce. So what is it about that? How come that happens? And should it be happening? And what are we doing wrong to have such a high failure rate? That's the big question. So to get that all figured out, and again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments on marriage and the secrets to staying in love. Let's go to Mark chapter 10, verses 6 to 9, because this is Jesus looking back over and sort of reciting what his view on marriage is.
But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate.
So Jesus is repeating exactly what Genesis said. And he's adding, what therefore God has joined together, let no man separate.
Yikes.
Yeah, well, and that's serious stuff.
Yes, indeed.
So we've got to look at this and say, okay, God's joined together. What does that actually mean? I mean, is it like a pinky swear? You know, kids do that. No, okay, you're going to pinky swear. Okay, that means we're obligated. You know, is it one of those cross my heart things?
You know, it was interesting because I was looking at some old CQ rewinds on this subject. And one of the points that you made in there is that when you ask God to be a witness to something, that is something you need to take very seriously.
And we're going to look into that, just how important that is right now. Because, and Seek Your Rewind is a great tool, folks. You can get it only at christianquestions.net. And you can sign up for the full edition. It's a free service. It's a PDF file that'll get emailed a link to you each and every week. And it gives you the program content. It gives you the scriptures, gives you additional things.
And pictures. You've got to see Rick with a perm. It is a wedding
picture.
I
never had a perm. I just had naturally curly hair when we got married all those years ago. We'll get back to that later. All right. Before we get into the depth of the marriage covenants, let's go back to the soundbite with the guy with the problem. Okay.
Oh, good.
This is the guy, joelandkathy.com is where you can find this. He's at this 3-day marriage seminar, and the first day plus, all the leader of the seminar is talking about is the man's responsibility. And he's thinking, well, what about the wife? Let's hear his next installment here.
So about 2 o'clock, I'm itching again. Because, I mean, everything he's saying is going off my back like water off a duck's back because it wasn't my fault. It was all her fault. So I thought, well, this is all great, but in my case, I'm a wonderful husband, I'm this great man of God, and I just can't get her to submit. It's her fault. And so I'm just sitting there, so about 2 o'clock, Dr. Hegstrom, you know, it's not always the man's problem in a marriage. It's not always the man who is the problem. Sometimes it's the wife. And I literally went like that.
And when he says, I literally went like that, he's pointing to his wife. Sometimes it's the wife. So he's giving you this sense, and he's obviously very upset about this. Because
yes, he's focusing on her. You know,
he sees himself as, hey, I'm good. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. If she would just submit, everything would be fine.
Isn't that so true? And you know, that's why I think marriage is such hard work, because you have to change yourself, and so many people want to change the other person.
Yeah, it's easier to try to change the other person.
Yeah, and if you can't change them, you just get rid of them and get somebody else.
So if you can't change them, you change them? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. But you know, it reminds me of Hebrews 10:24, and I think maybe a better approach is to consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, and think about, instead of changing the other person, how can you really help that other person become their best? Not who you want them to be, but who God wants them to be.
Secrets to staying in love. You're hearing them here. Christian Questions, 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website is christianquestions.net. Kathy, let's look into this covenant thing. This, because, you know, we're saying, okay, how serious a promise is it? Well, Proverbs 2:11-17 is going to give us a sense of the depth of the seriousness.
Discretion shall watch over thee. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil, from the men that speak perverse things, who forsake the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, who are crooked in their ways and wayward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the foreigner that flattereth with her words, that forsaketh the friend of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God.
And that is a very important phrase, the end there. It says that forgetteth the covenant of her God. Marriage is a covenant of God. All right, so what does that mean? First of all, what's a covenant? In the Bible, that's a word that we don't use these days, covenants.
No.
So in the Bible, what is a covenant specifically?
A mutual contract or agreement between two parties, each of which is bound to fulfill certain engagements to the other.
So a covenant is a contract in the scriptures.
Yes.
And one of the things they would do and we're getting some information from McClintock and Strong's Encyclopedia of the Bible here. One of the things they would do in making a covenant, any kind of a contract like this, is they would literally, and this is kind of gross, but they'd cut an animal in half. And
yeah.
Yeah, ew. Go ahead, say it. That's an ew. I got it. And they would walk between the two halves, and they would signify the sealing of this covenant, and then, you know, the animal would get eaten later. But the point was, it was a serious, solemn event to do that. It was something that was considered absolutely binding when you did that.
You know, I'm thinking about Christian Questions, CQ Rewind. And I hope that that's not a picture they're going to include this week. But they really do put really good pictures on CQ Rewind. And you know what I love to do is I print them out. And I just lay them on my countertop for other people to walk by and hopefully look at. And the catchier the title, sometimes, you know, family members who aren't Christian do get tempted. There was one you had, How Hot is Hell? And I, you know, while cooking dinner, saw quite a few people browsing through that CQ Rewind. So check that out. You just go to ChristianQuestions.net.
Again, it's a free service. You can sign up. You can opt out anytime, and no obligation to you. It's one of the ways that we want you to just get a sense of what it is that we're talking about in a different format. Again, at ChristianQuestions.net. So we're looking at the marriage covenant. We're looking at it. It's a covenant of God. That's the way it's talked about. And the idea is that God is called as a witness to the
yes.
marriage.
Yes.
And in many, many, most marriage ceremonies, that point is always does come out before God and these witnesses. That's what gets said in a marriage ceremony. And so you are literally inviting God into the room as a witness to this binding covenant. So if you're inviting the almighty creator of all things into the room, don't you think you ought to take the promise seriously that you're asking him to witness?
I would think so.
Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website is christianquestions.net. Let's go to another soundbite from the best marriage advice I've heard. We got this off of YouTube. This is another couple. It's very short. Kathy and Gene, who had been married at this recording for 46 years. You know, and Kathy, when you think about that, the other one was 43 years. This is 46 years. That's a long time.
That is a long time.
That's a lot of years of marriage. So hopefully there's a lot of wisdom out of those years.
I think be realistic. That our expectations sometimes are so high, but most of marriage is lived in between the ups and the downs, and that it's hard work, and not all the time, but it's hard work.
Simple.
It sounds simple, but you know, and I think Hollywood and the media, they do so much disservice to marriage these days, because you look at these people and think that everything is just so wonderful, and it really does. It gives you false expectations of what marriage is or should be. And if mine isn't like that, then I'm going to be dissatisfied.
Okay, now, how long have you been married?
I have been married 18 years.
All right, so you've been married 18, she says, I think. 18 years. And so you've got some experience. And actually, Trish and I have been married for 31 and a half years. We're going on 32 years this year. So, yeah, we're an old married couple. As a matter of fact, a little bit later in the program, folks, and this took me 2 weeks, but over the last 2 weeks, I have talked Trish into giving you some insight into married life in our home and some of the experiences that we've had. So she's not necessarily a I love to speak on the microphone kind of person, but she's willing to do that. Again, to give you a different sense of... You always hear it from me. Well, now you can hear it from my wife of 31 years, the only true love of my life. And that's,
aww.
Well, you know what? But that's the bottom line. That's the truth of the matter. And I will tell you that there is nothing like going through life. And you know, people, like you said, the media, they mess this all up because they make it look, you know, it's all glorious. And it's all exciting. It's all new. And you know, that's the thing. Everything is new and exciting. Going through life with the same person for 31 years is the best thing. It is the best thing you could ever imagine for your life. And it's so contrary to the images that we're given that, well, you know, don't you get tired of one another? The answer is, are you kidding?
Yeah, it gets better. I know talking to my husband about this program over the weekend, and he said to me, you know, you don't annoy me as much as you used to. You know, some girls get flowers, and I took that as what a great compliment. Although, honey, if you're listening, flowers still are good.
Okay, well, that's good. See, things are moving up. Sometimes the better comes after the worst. And,
that's right.
Look, no marriage is just a straight line of bliss.
No.
There's always challenges and difficulties. Oftentimes, those challenges and difficulties come as a result of things on the outside coming in. And then you naturally deal with them differently.
Right, right.
But still, there are challenges and difficulties, and we need to learn how to cope with those. We don't have time for the scripture, but in Malachi chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, this is interesting because this is God through Malachi really lecturing Israel, especially the priesthood, because they were walking away from God instead of walking towards Him. And he's saying that, you know, you're doing all these things to try to make it up to me, to God, but you're way off track. And even the tears that your wives are shedding on the altar don't make a difference because you are unfaithful to your God. And so and at the end of the scripture, he says, even though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. And again, the point is that marriage is not just I do until I decide I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is I do if you are doing this and you call God as a witness to this promise. It is a forever till death do you part promise.
Yes.
And do not take that lightly because God does not take that lightly. And that's what these scriptures, you know, the one in Proverbs we read so earlier and this Malachi scripture, they're showing us God doesn't take it lightly. We should not. Take it lightly.
That should be very sobering.
And so that's the point here, that marriage is a covenant. It's what's called in the scriptures a covenant of God. We call it a marriage vow. And what we mean by that is that you are making a solemn promise to that other person to stand by them through all parts of life. Folks, the discussion today is about marriage. We'd love to hear your thoughts on what you think makes a good marriage.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, here with Rick. Today we're talking about, are there secrets to staying in love? Do wives really have to obey their husbands? Stay with us to hear what the Bible has to say.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, are there secrets to staying in love? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, christianquestions.net.
All right, so Kathy, we're looking at the marriage roles of men and women, and you know, your question at the end of the last segment was, do women really have to, how did you put it?
Obey their husbands.
Let's talk about that part, shall we? I'm feeling good now. All right, well, let's get that started. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24.
Wives, be subject to your own husbands, as to the Lord.
Ha! Sorry, go ahead.
For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything.
Now that sounds very dramatically, yes, they're supposed to obey.
But what a great blessing.
Okay, now we're going to have to get into how that can be a great blessing. So hang on to that thought.
Okay.
Don't go away with that.
Okay.
And actually, you know what? Why don't we go to the phones? We've got Julius on the line. Good morning, Julius. Welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
Morning, Kathy. Morning, Rick.
Morning.
Miss Jonathan, but you're doing a good job, Kathy.
By the grace of God.
Yeah. I think the secret or secrets to this relationship, has already been mentioned in one of your sound bites. You probably did already also. That's simply hard work.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, I like Proverbs 18:22.
Okay.
Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and has the favor of God. Now, one comment that always pops up in my mind about that verse, to finding a good thing, is that the discovery, the finding, is mutual. To find a good husband is a good thing also.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number two is the late Paul Harvey, a wonderful man, had great values. The radio commentator, remember him?
Yes, absolutely.
He did his research, you know, on marriage, and he found two critical ingredients to a successful marriage in all his years of research. Two critical ingredients. Number one, God has to be in the relationship, as you already so well expressed, both of you.
Mm-hmm.
God has got to be part of the contract, part of the relationship. Number two is a sense of humor.
Good.
Thank you. God bless. Mm.
Thanks, Julius. We appreciate it very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Julius.
Hard work, God in the relationship, and have a sense of humor.
Oh, I agree.
And it goes a long way when you combine those kinds of things. And so hard work seems to be an underlying theme here. Now we're looking at, you know, wives being subject to their husbands. Let's go quickly here to the soundbite, the third soundbite of this the guy Joel, who's at the marriage seminar.
Yes.
He's not happy. It's now 2 days into the seminar, and there's not a word about the woman's responsibility, and he's like getting all bent out of shape. Well, here's the not the complete conclusion, but the conclusion for our purposes of what happened there.
And I believe it was the third time that I interrupted the class either the end of that day or the next morning. And again said, well, Dr. Hegstrom, in some marriages, it's just not the man's problem. When are we going to talk about the wife? And he nailed me to the wall publicly. Said, Joel, if you would ever grow up and deal with your issues, your wife will deal with whatever issues she has on her own. Mm-hmm. You're the problem in your marriage. Your abusive husband. He didn't even know me from Adam. He just told me because of my question. I wasn't listening to anything he said. I'm just thinking, talk about the wife, talk about the wife, talk about the wife.
So there's a great moral to that story, and you were talking about it earlier in the program. You know, look at yourself.
Right.
Look within. And what he was doing, he kept saying, well, it's her fault. If she would only submit. And we just read a scripture on submission, and really the bottom line is, well, if you would be worthy of submitting to, maybe, just maybe, things would get better.
You know what I find when I read those scriptures, that if I focus on anyone else's job but my own, I feel a little cranky. You know, like, why aren't they doing that? But you know what? That's none of my business.
Yeah, yeah.
Really. Their role is not my business. I do not have to do their role. And I am so thankful for that. Just like the whole submission thing. To me, it's like going to New York City. You can go, you can get in your car, pack your kids, have to answer all the questions of, you know, are we there yet? Are we going the right way? I have to go to the bathroom. I'm hungry. Then you can fight the traffic and the accidents. Or you can pack your bags and get on the train. You know you're going to get there, but somebody else is in control. And the husband is the mode of transportation. And as long as you're not, you know, nagging him, are you going too fast? Are you going the right way? You know, you really have everything taken care of for you.
You can enjoy the journey.
Yeah, you do your part, let them do their part, and build them up to do their part, and the ride is much nicer.
There you go. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And you can post your comments on our Facebook page and on our always updated blog at christianquestions.net.
All right, good. Speaking of enjoying the journey, I've got my wife in the other room. She's our call screener, folks, if you didn't know that. And she's agreed. It took me 2 weeks to talk her into this, but she's agreed to make a few comments about our life. You're going to get an insight into Rick now, that right from the key source of everything. So, Trish, here she is. And what's your first little story for us this morning, hon?
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi, Trish.
Good morning.
Yeah, you're on?
Let's see. Well, we figured we'd start at the beginning. I met Rick's family when I was 17. We were both part of the same Christian group, both dedicated to the Lord. And his sister and I are still best friends. That's where we first met. And then when I was 22, living in Chicago, he and I saw each other again at a Bible convention, and we started becoming interested in each other.
She's so gorgeous.
I was living in Chicago at the time, and I remember driving back to Chicago thinking, I was horrified. I was absolutely horrified. I was like, he's younger than me. He's shorter than me. He's my best friend's little brother. This cannot be happening. I mean, what is wrong with me? I figured I was desperate. I said, something is wrong if I'm interested in my best friend's little brother. So that's how it began.
Okay, so there's my first impression. All right, so, and we'll pick up some more of that story a little bit later on. But you think about that, and it's kind of funny because you look back on our life, and we've been married, like I said, almost 32 years now. And, you know, I've been married longer than I was single. We got married when I was actually 21 years old when we got married.
Wow.
Turned 22 the next day. So I was a very young man. And people tell you all the time, well, if you're that young, you know, you're destined for failure. But when you have the right perspective and the right principles in front of you, you see, you're destined to be able to succeed by the grace of God.
Yes.
And so thanks, hon. We'll come back to you a little bit later for some more. See, it wasn't so bad.
We're still smiling.
That's right. Yes, we are. All right, Kathy, let's go back now to this thing about submissiveness. Because, you know, the scripture you read before was very, very clear about, yes, a wife is supposed to be submissive to her husband. But we cannot take that out of its proper context. Because the next part of the scripture explains the husband's responsibility. There's two lines that explain the wife's responsibility there. There's a paragraph that explains what the husband's supposed to do. Let's start with that.
Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless.
So, okay, a wife is supposed to submit to her husband, but the husband, the first line is really, it's really the killer line. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her.
That is a very high standard.
And what we need to do is, as husbands, we need to realize that that's what our wife is supposed to submit to, that kind of an attitude.
Wow. So if the husband doesn't do that, the wife doesn't have to do her part?
Well, now you know the answer to that now, don't you? Of course she has to do her part, but realize that the burden, the real burden of a successful marriage really does fall squarely on the shoulders of the husband.
Yes, it does.
Not that the wife doesn't contribute and is not as important, but there is a major context setting by the husband in his role. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And you've really got to get CQ Rewind. The other thing that you don't tell people is sometimes you even have jokes on there. You had a joke. There was a program a few months ago, I guess, and it was about the world ending, and you put a joke at the end of that that we are still talking about in my family.
Well, that's good. I don't even remember it, but Seeker Rewind is only available at ChristianQuestions.net. You can sign up for the full edition. It is a free service. Let's go back to that Ephesians 5 scripture, Kathy, because we want to see if we can wrap that up in this segment here. Start with verses 28 and to 30.
So husbands ought to also love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body.
So we're supposed to love our wives the way Christ loves the church. We're supposed to love our wives the way we take care of our own selves. So this is a high level. No wonder there's supposed to be a submission. Because if you're submitting to that standard, that's a great thing to submit to.
It is. It's very humbling to think of all the responsibility and pressure that husbands take on when they take a wife.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. And the scripture continues by quoting the Genesis about leaving your father and mother and becoming joined. We're running out of time here, so I want to get to one more soundbite. This is an entirely different subject. This happened this past year. This is from KCII8 News in Iowa. A story about a couple that had been married for 72 years. Here's the first part.
Gordon and Norma Yeager lived the love story up until the moment they died.
They got married here in State Center.
May 26, 1939.
In this house, on the day she graduated from high school, Norma Stock said yes to Gordon Yeager.
They're very old-fashioned. They believed in marriage till death do you part.
Dennis Yeager was the last of four children born to Gordon and Norma. His sister Donna was firstborn.
Staying together for 72 years, I'd say is good. And nowadays, that's exceptional.
Some interesting things in that. First of all, if you heard that, you know, they were married for 72 years before they died, and she accepted marriage proposal the day after she graduated from high school.
Wow.
And you think in our world, somebody graduates from high school and they decide to get married, we tell them they're nuts.
Right.
And yet, there was something about the quality of what these people stood for that enabled this very young lady to marry her husband and be with him for the rest of their lives.
Wow.
See, there's, and again, folks, it comes down to the maturity of the commitment. Mm-hmm. See, if we make a commitment based on maturity, if we make our commitment based on covenant before God, if we make our commitment based on the fact that we are going to do our part and be committed through thick or thin, it's a whole lot different than the way we seem to do it today.
Right.
The way we do it today is, well, you know, if it doesn't work out, well, you know, like you said, if you can't change your spouse, then you're going to change your spouse. And it's not a good thing. So look, folks, we're looking at the secrets to staying in love. We're looking at love and marriage and trying to get a sense of what it takes to make a successful marriage. Maybe you're involved in a marriage that hasn't been great so far. Maybe there's been all kinds of ups and downs and difficulties, and maybe you're second guessing. Stay with us for the second hour, because you need to realize that even if things are in a tough spot, by your actions, by your focus, by your commitment, you can change that. For Kathy and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back again after the news and all of that. But until then, are there secrets to staying in love? We'll be back soon. Think about it.
Is Christian Questions.
Marnie Reed Crowell once said, "To keep the fire burning brightly, there's one easy rule. Keep the two logs together, near enough to keep each other warm, and far enough apart, about a finger's breadth, for breathing room. Good fire, good marriage, same rule." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. Sitting in for Jonathan this morning is Kathy. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Kathy, what is our subject this morning?
Are there secrets to staying in love? And our theme text is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered.
So we're looking at, we're talking about love and marriage on this Sunday before Valentine's Day. Jonathan is out of town today taking care of his parents, and so Kathy has graciously agreed to sit in. Doing okay so far?
So far, so good. By the grace of God.
All right. We want to welcome in our audience at 100.3 WNOX in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're glad that you have joined us for this hour. Want to remind you that the first hour is available live online at ChristianQuestions.net. You go to the Listen Live button, you press it there, and you can get that hour. Or later on today, it will be uploaded to the website. Once again, that's ChristianQuestions.net.
If you have more to say after the program, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut 06320. And you can contact us on the web at ChristianQuestions.net. There are many archived programs on a variety of subjects. Again, that's ChristianQuestions.net. Also, at our website, CQ Rewind. CQ Rewind has two parts. The first is the summary version. It includes excerpts from the program, transcript, and scripture citations. It is a free download. The second part, CQ Rewind, the full edition, available by email sign-up only, includes comprehensive excerpts, transcript, and fully quoted scriptures, all presented in a reader-friendly format, full of graphics and illustrations and bonus material. Also available free of charge. Just sign up. Check them both out at ChristianQuestions.net. CQ Rewind, you heard the program. Now see it as well.
And Kathy, you are a CQ Rewind subscriber.
I love it.
So there, you heard it here, folks. She loves it. Sign up for it at ChristianQuestions.net. Okay, let's look over a little bit of what we talked about in the first hour. We were talking about marriage, and the first point is it's an institution created by God.
Yes.
So it's there, and it joins a man and a woman, and it's called a covenant of God in the Scriptures. And one of the things we were talking about is the solemnness of that contract, how important it is to make sure you stay with it for life, because it's you're inviting God in as a witness.
Yes.
Some of the other things we were talking about is the role that each spouse plays, and you were really focusing on doing your own part. Just a couple of points on that.
That's the only part you can focus on is your own, and that's why it's such hard work, because you have to be willing to look at yourself and look at the challenges in marriage and say, how can I attack this problem by fixing or changing myself? What is God trying to show me through this trial or this experience?
So it really is important to focus on what we do.
Marriage go together like a horse and carriage. Dad was told by mother, you can't have one, you can't have none, you can't have one without the other.
Frank Sinatra, Love and Marriage. Just a little addition there. It is a couple of days before Valentine's Day, and we really want to focus in on the secrets of staying together. So, folks, if you have a thought, maybe you have some experiences, maybe you've had some hardships that you got through, maybe you know someone who's had an exceptional marriage, maybe you've been married for a very, very long time, let us know what you think. 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And you know what our website is?
ChristianQuestions.net.
You want to go there. And folks, look, if you don't want to talk on the phone, you can certainly email us at Rick, R-I-C-K, at ChristianQuestions.net. Okay, let's, as we start the second hour and we start to look at the roles that we have to play within our marriage, let's go to a soundbite. And this was from firstthings.org. And it's called a Fresh Look at Marriage. And what they did with this is they put children in the roles of husband and wife to sort of give you the words and the reactions of husbands and wives in the marriage circumstance.
I really don't like this one. It is very hard to listen to.
All right, well, we'll listen to it, and then we're going to come back and just see, well, why? What would you not? I mean, this is kids. You always like to hear kids talking. Well, let's listen to what they say as playing the roles of husbands and wives.
I just don't want to argue anymore.
I just don't want to argue anymore.
Why are you always on my case?
I try not to make him mad, but sometimes.
I try not to make him mad, but sometimes.
Why does he get so mad?
Why is it so hard to say I'm sorry?
He said I had to sleep somewhere else tonight.
Why is it so hard to say I'm sorry?
He said maybe it would be better for us to take a break.
He said maybe it would be better to take a break.
That is sad. And here's the thing. Those are the things that we end up saying when our lives get rough. But it puts a whole different perspective on it when you hear the child saying those words.
It really does. It just brings the selfishness of how really our minds can become drunk with our own selfishness and loss of focus. And, you know, we fool ourselves into thinking children are so resilient. But
yeah, well, there's a lot of hurt that comes out of marriage in our world. And the reason so much hurt comes out of it is because we tend to take it too lightly. The fact that, look, if one in two marriages ends in divorce, that's got to tell you something about our not handling that covenant the way it ought to be handled. That kind of a soundbite just gives you the sense of, this is hurtful. What can we do? What can we do to make it better? And again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net. You can post your comments on our Facebook page and our always updated blog at ChristianQuestions.net.
Let's go to a scripture, and then we want to go back to another part of the Tricia story, my dear wife. First, let's go to 1 Peter 3:1-4.
In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, They may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior.
Okay, so pause there for a second, because we were talking about that in the first hour and how the role of the husband is so lofty.
Yes.
But here it's saying even if the husband is not, you know, doing the greatest job.
Right. Or even if he's not naturally a leader, I think as a wife, by your role, you can build him up to that position. And a lot of times, you know, use your children. And when they ask for permission, you say, you need to go ask your father. He's the boss. And make sure he knows that you respect him in that role and see him that way. And he will, by your actions, be won over to fulfilling that role.
And there's such an important point in that. So the scriptures, even when the husband is not where maybe you'd like him to be, you can still help him to get there. And that's what that kind of submission is. Now, let's finish up that text, starting with verses 3-4.
Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God.
So the focus here, Kathy, is really on that internal adornment with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. And when you read that, what do you think?
You know, it's so true. And it's funny because when I wake up in the morning and I just have my, you know, exercise clothes on, that's when my husband will look at me and say, you look beautiful today. And I think he's looking beyond just the outside. And, you know, when I'm running around and trying to make breakfast and get everyone ready for the day, and those qualities that as wives, you know, I think our husbands look to and appreciate, whether they say it or not.
All right. Good, good. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now, and our website is christianquestions.net. We're bringing Trish back in. Trish is my wife. She is our call screener and early in the mornings for Christian Questions. And in the first hour, she told the story of basically how we met and how she was horrified at meeting me. So now we're going to be... Yeah, I do really well with first impressions. You know, what can I say? And now we're going to go to a little bit later. We're married, and now this little story, Trish, is you when you were pregnant with our first child.
Five.
Okay, one second. You got to get your mic up.
Hello.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, I just wanted to clarify that I'm not horrified anymore.
31 years later.
Yeah, and that aside from our spiritual gifts of God and Jesus, Rick is the greatest gift God's ever given me. So I want to clarify that, you know, right off the bat. Well, for our first, when we had our first child, when I was pregnant with our first child, I was very sick, morning, noon, and night for quite a while. And on Valentine's Day, Rick was trying to be romantic and, you know, express his love to me and assure me of my value to him, even though I spent most of the time
throwing up.
And he purchased, at that time it was 45s, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, two 45s love songs. One was Billy Joel, You Have a Way About You, and another one was by Juice Newton. I don't remember the name of that one. And he played them for me, and it was really sweet of him. But unfortunately, because I was so sick, every time he put the song on, I get nauseous and I have to go in the bathroom. Unfortunately, for years, every time Billy Joel would come on and sing that song, You Have a Way About You, I would be nauseous and have to leave the room. So he would try to play, so let's play our song, and I'd say, oh, you can't put that on. Sick. So, that was
All right.
He married a winner. I'm sorry.
So you know, it just what it does is just tells you that, you know, sometimes things don't go as you plan when you're married. You plan to do it somewhere, and then, you know, I'm not romantic by nature, okay? And I'm my big attempts, and it makes her sick. Come on. Anyway, so thanks, Trish. We'll give you another shot later on in the program to tell another little story of the life of Rick and Trisha. 31 plus years, and by God's grace, still going strong. But Kathy, it's kind of funny when you think about it. But it also gives you a sense of making the effort. And, you know, there were several times where I would play the song and she'd get sick, but she wouldn't tell me. And finally she said, look, honey, I just can't take it anymore. I'm sorry. It makes me sick. So we put the effort out and we try to do things. And by God's grace, we can continue and we can build from there.
And I think as the wife, you then look at the intent and not the action. And
right.
Probably, you know, it fills her heart with love to think of the intent behind that, even though the action missed its mark for her. And I think we have to look at and appreciate how our spouse expresses love in their way, whether it's the way we receive it or not.
All right, folks, we're talking about love and marriage. We're looking at the world of being married and what it takes to be married and how important it is for us to work at, to do our part so that our marriage can ultimately be successful and a glory to God as a result.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan here with Rick. Today we're talking about, are there secrets to staying in love? Coming up, find out what causes problems in marriage.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, are there secrets to staying in love? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
We are talking about love and marriage and the secrets of staying in love. And we're going to now focus a little bit on difficulty, because we've been sort of alluding to it through the whole program. You know, no marriage is exempt from trouble.
Right.
No marriage is exempt from disagreement here or there.
True.
No marriage is exempt from tension.
Yes.
So what do you do with all of those things? Before we get into all of that, though, I want to go back to the story about the couple. Remember, what were their names? Nora and somebody. I apologize. Married 72
Gordon
years.
Gordon and Norma.
KCCI 8 in News, Iowa. This happened last year, so we sort of were introduced to them. Let's go back and just see how things develop.
They just love being together. You know, even like everybody argues once in a while, but they still, you know, he always said, I have to stick around until, you know, I can't go until she does, because I got to stay here for her. And she would say the same thing.
It's almost as if they knew.
Last Wednesday, they left home to go into town. Somehow there was an accident there.
So they got into a car accident.
Oh, no.
He's 72 years married, and, you know, where you kind of got to figure where you know where this is going. But we're going to just the quality of the story and the quality of the experience is what we really want to focus on. All right. So we'll come back to Gordon and Norma in a few minutes. Let's go right now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 to 5.
For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, that each one of you know how to control your own body in holiness and honor, not with lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God.
So here, what causes marital strife? And, you know, one of the things that the scriptures say, you abstain from fornication. You abstain from extramarital activities. You know, stay away from those things. And how often does that happen in our world?
We have to want what we have. and not covet what we don't. Don't even entertain it. Don't even think about it.
And see, and I think that's such an important key. It's so easy to look elsewhere and say, well, you know, if only, and you start to allow your mind to go down those roads. And what you're saying is, look, you got to shut that down before it even starts, because you're just creating strife and difficulty for yourself and your spouse.
And I think too, when you do have those unfulfilled needs, whatever they are, it's a great opportunity to learn how to let the Lord in and let Him fill those needs. So any void and any problem is an opportunity to work on you and to grow your relationship with God.
All right, good. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now, and our website
is christianquestions.net.
Also, don't forget to check out CQ Rewind. It is available at christianquestions.net, the only place in the entire world you can get it. CQ Rewind gives you a sense of what we're talking about on the program in print. You can get the summary version online at the website, or you can sign up for the full edition. And Kathy, that's your recommendation, right?
It is. And, you know, especially for a program like this, it's not just a Bible story. This is something you need more information on,
right?
Because you have to live it every day.
Right. And it's nice to have it written right in front of you.
Right.
Why don't we go to the phones? We have Randall calling in from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, guys.
To you, too.
We have Psalm 119:32.
Okay.
I will run the way of your commands, for you make broad my heart. We do not become perfect to go to Christ. We learn the path of perfection in Christ. So it is with relationship. Thomas Merton said that holiness is one who is sanctified by the presence and action of God. Love does not make lists about the beloved. If only they were like this, or if only they were like that. Christian charity sanctifies relationship. Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Romance and sex can demonstrate love, but they are not the source of love or love. All those we love are opportunities for charity, and the highest are those we see Christ in the other. Then love lasts. Joel 2:26, you shall eat and be filled, and shall praise the name of the Lord, your God, because he has dealt wondrously with you.
Randall, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
God bless you guys.
Thanks, Randall. And to be a part of our program, call 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL.
We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And again, our website is christianquestions.net. Randall said something that was, I think, very profound. Romance is not the source of love.
Right.
And, you know, the infatuation and all of that giddy excitement, that's not what real love is built on.
That's just feelings.
Right, right. And so real love is built on something deeper and something stronger. You know, we're talking with Trish, you know, she and I have been married for over 31 years.
Yeah.
Now we want to get the other side of the story. Matt, get yourself in here. Matt is one of our board guys that comes in and helps us out with the program. And Matt's in a little bit, Matt's in a little bit of a different situation. Matt, tell us where you are. Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. We want him to. Okay. Here, you know what? Unplug this one. Catherine, we're going to unplug you just for a second here. Okay, go ahead.
I'm getting married in the morning.
This is for you, Matt. Because you're not necessarily getting married in the morning, but you are getting married when?
A week from today, Rick.
A week from today, Matt is entering the holy matrimony of marriage, and your wife to be, her name?
Is Faith.
What a great name. So give us your sense on being married. What are you looking forward to there, buddy?
Good question. Well, it'll be very new for both of us, so.
And you're a relatively young man.
23.
And you and Faith share that dedication to God that we've been talking about.
That's right.
So, well, we're very happy for you, playing this little song just for you.
Thank you.
And wish you God's blessing in that marriage.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Let's get back to our subject about strife now. Now we we got all the fun. Okay, yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting. And you know, we've got the new marriage coming up here. And actually, you know what, Trish, I want you to make sure you get a picture of Matt here in the studio. Because we got to post that on our Facebook page so y'all can see what Matt, in anticipation of a marriage. He won't be here next week, next Sunday morning, because next Sunday afternoon is the big day for he and Faith. So we're glad for that.
And you can post your comments on our Facebook page and always updated blog at ChristianQuestions.net.
All right. Let's go back now to some of the things that cause the difficulties. And Matt, pay close attention to these because, you know what, no matter where you are in your married life, these things can happen. These things can come up and these things can end up being difficulties. 1 John 2:15-17.
Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever.
Now, in relation to a marriage, first of all, let's think about this. Whether we like it or not, our marriage, if your marriage isn't as good as you'd like it to be, it's got a foundation somehow or other.
Yes.
It may not have a good foundation, but it's got a foundation. Mm. Every marriage is built on something.
Mm.
The key is identifying what is the foundation of your marriage and does it need to be repaired or replaced.
Ooh.
See, and one of the things that we look at, if you look at this 1 John 2:15-17 scripture, there's three things in that scripture. And I submit to you that every problem in your marriage that you ever will have will come from one of these three things. The lust of the flesh, the lust or the desire of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Okay? The lust of what I want for me. The desire of what I see. You remember you were saying, you know, don't covet.
Right.
Or the boastful pride of life. If we can understand that all of our marriage difficulties will come from one of those three things, it gives us a huge advantage in being able to deal with those difficulties.
Mm.
So lots of things that cause marital strife. But by God's grace, there's lots of things that can counteract what causes the marital strife. In one other scripture, Kathy, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And again, if you'd like to email us, you can certainly do so at Rick, R-A-C-K, at ChristianQuestions.net. That's a personal email address. You will get a timely personal response to whatever your comments might be. Let's go to Proverbs 5:15-18, because this is a poetic way of saying, stay at home, keep your eyes at home, keep your desires at home, because that's where your fulfillment in life really comes from.
Drink water from your own cistern and fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be yours alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth.
So basically it's saying stay at home with your thoughts and your desires and all of your imaginations. Make sure they stay where they belong. And in our world, Kathy, that's a hard thing to do.
It really is. There's so much press about, fulfilling your own desires and, you know, having a girls' night out or a boys' night out. And that's healthy and that's good and that's good for your relationship. And neither one of myself or my spouse subscribe to that kind of thinking. It doesn't work. And a lot of times the worldly wisdom is contrary to what really does work, and God created us and he knows what works.
So we need to focus on those things that are most important. And let's go back to the story of Gordon and Norma. Remember now, they had been married for 72 years and they were just in a car accident.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what happens next.
Town's hospital nurses knew not to separate Gordon and Norma.
So they brought them in the same room in intensive care and put them together. And then they were holding hands in intensive care, and then, you know, with the morphine and everything, then they were not really responsive.
All right, so this situation has really gone downhill. They're in intensive care, and it's interesting. It says because they knew not to separate them. So you have this old couple, and you know, if they've been married for 72 years, she's at least 90.
Wow.
Because remember, she
was 18.
It was 18 when they, you know, she got engaged. So you know, they're in their, probably in their early 90s, and picture this: they're in intensive care and they're holding hands, and both of them are unconscious.
Wow.
What a picture that is. That is something, you know, we're looking at the marital bliss versus the marital strife that we're discussing right now. So hold that thought in your mind. We're going to come back to that story in the next segment. But let's look at some of the things that can cause difficulty in our married lives. Proverbs 19:11-13.
A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression.
What a profound statement that is. It is his glory to overlook a transgression.
See, that was the wisdom of my husband. Ignore your wife.
All got to put it in context,
That's
though.
That's right.
All right, continue the scripture.
The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. A foolish son is destruction to his father, and the contentions of a wife are constant dripping.
Oh!
Imagine that dripping faucet. It just drives you crazy.
Yes.
And so what this is saying is, you know, we've got to rise above those things that pull us down. Those are the things that can cause strife. Sometimes it's little things and you harbor them and they build up and they build up and build up. But we need to recognize how to deal with that. Let's just touch on quickly Proverbs. Let's go down to Proverbs 16:18-19.
Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. It is better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud.
So here, it's putting things in a perspective of, if you put humility first and put pride aside, you are getting off on the right track to be able to deal with the strife and the difficulty that does come with marriage. So there are solutions. We just have to work at on ourselves to find them.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan, here with Rick. Today we're talking about, are there secrets to staying in love? Stay with us to find out the most important secret of marriage. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, are there secrets to staying in love? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, christianquestions.net.
And Kathy, our final segment here is really going to be focusing on the most important secret or secrets of marital success. And the good news is that the secrets really aren't secrets.
That is good news.
they're public information, they're public knowledge. The challenge is taking those things and placing them above everything else.
Yes.
Because that's the way to be successful in your marriage. And, you know, we heard from Matt, you know, he's going to be getting married next week. You know, Trish will hopefully be able to tell one other little tidbit from our own marriage together for 31 years. And, you know, just from another standpoint on in terms of marriage, you know, we have our brother here in the studio, Fred. Fred lost his wife this past year. And, you know, he was deeply in love with his wife. And, you know, it's a tragedy to have that happen. And, you know, Fred, we, you know, wish you God's blessing as you continue. But I wanted to acknowledge that. So we're looking at marriage from all kinds of perspectives,
right,
in a very personal way here, mm-hmm, on Christian Questions this morning. So again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. Kathy, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5, and this is commonly known as the love chapter.
Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful.
That we could have spent the entire program talking about just those verses, because those are little, quick little sound bites that give you a sense of, this is what love is. Now, this is talking about Christian love, and actually, we're going to be doing a program on Christian love very soon. And so this this text really applies outside of marriage, but it certainly applies within marriage. Mm-hmm. And if you want to have a successful marriage, patience, kindness, not envious, not boastful, not arrogant, not rude, not insisting on your own way, not irritable or resentful. Those are secrets to put in place. Folks, you know what? Actually, Kathy, let's go to the phones. We have Valerie from Kentucky on the line. Good morning, Valerie, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was listening to your program, and I appreciate some of the things you said. I know you guys sound very young. And
very young. I'm a lot older than you think, sister.
You may be. There's lots of ways of changing our voices, but nevertheless, the foundation of a Christian life is the Trinity, is the three. There's the Father, and there's the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit, and the Holy, and God says that He is love, and He's, you know, all over. He's, everyone loves. At points in their lives because of birth and going on through your life, you've had people that enter in that shows you a special love. And when you have the three together in a marriage, then you have a solid rock. That's your foundation, the cornerstone, as many will call it. And that's, you build on that stone, and you build it completely till it's a house, till it's a home, and till it's a being of a marriage together. Regardless of the pitfalls that may come, you stand together as a unit, as three. And so the love that God shows you, you show it in your marriage, and when you do, then it doesn't fall. But if you have little things that come in that can fester, like a wound or a sore or a mishap that we blame sometimes in other, then it can become as quicksand, and as sand that washes by the seaside, your footprints can be there and gone in a moment. But if you have the Lord carrying you through the hard times and the good times, you'll have a solid foundation for a marriage, and that is love.
Valerie, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Valerie.
You're welcome.
And go ahead. She was having a good day. I know that.
And to be a part of our program, call toll-free, 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website is christianquestions.net. You know, Valerie brought up an important point, and the point is that when you look at our married life, it is important, as we discussed in the first hour, God is called into witness our covenant.
Right.
Okay? If you are a Christian, then you have dedicated yourself to following after His Son, Jesus.
Yes.
And if you are a true Christian called of God, you are given a gift of God's power and influence, that the Holy Spirit. And that helps us. It guides us through those difficulties. And when you take God as the witness and the creator, His Son as the sacrifice for all sin, and the power and influence of God working in your life, that is a powerful combination of things that can help us through the difficult times.
Yes. And even if your spouse doesn't share that faith with you, the scriptures tell you to remain where you were found by the Lord, and God can be that strength, and you bless your marriage anyway.
So even though we fall, we have the ability to stand back up.
Right.
So Valerie, thanks so much. We appreciate your contributions this morning. And Kathy, I can tell we're going to start to run low on time. So 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, we won't read the scripture, but just the very end, the part in bold.
Let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action.
And again, that's a scripture, a general scripture, a general admonishing toward loving one another in general, but boy, does that fit with a marriage.
Yes.
We need to make sure that we're not just loving just in words. Words are good. Words are good.
Yeah.
But truth and action is better.
And your words won't be believed unless they're followed by action.
Right, right. Words can end up being very empty. But actions are the summation. They give you something to really, really hold on to. So very, very important scriptural admonition. Let's go back to our story about Gordon and Norma. And remember, they are married 72 years. They're in a car accident. They're in intensive care. Neither one is responsive, and they're holding hands in intensive care.
Gordon died at 3:38, holding hands with his wife. The family they built surrounded them.
And it was really strange. They were holding hands, and Dad stopped breathing. I couldn't figure out what was going on because the heart monitor is still going. And we're like, but he isn't breathing. Why? How would he still have a heartbeat? And she checked and everything, and she says, well, that's because they're holding hands, and it's going through them. Then her heart was beating through him and picking it up.
They were still getting her heartbeat through him.
At 4:48, exactly 1 hour after Gordon, Norma passed too.
Neither one of them would have wanted to be without each other.
Boy, is that something.
That's beautiful.
And when you think about it, they're unconscious. And when Norman dies, his heart monitor is still registering because they're holding hands, and it's her heartbeat passing through him. And you think about that, and what a poignant ending to a life together.
Two shall become one.
Yeah, and you know that's an example of the cleaving together, and it's no accident that exactly 1 hour later she passes away herself, and because the two were so connected. And again, folks, this is hopefully just helps you see that I want my life to be like that. I want my marriage to be like that. I want to cleave to my spouse, as we were talking in the first hour. And Fred, you know what? Let's go to the next soundbite. This is sort of testimony to the marriage. We probably won't be able to get through the whole thing, but to the marriage that we are witnessing, testimony to the faithfulness of two together, and how when your eyes are focused on the other only, how wonderful life can absolutely be. Joe Cocker, You Are So Beautiful. And doesn't that fit the story of Norma and Gordon?
That's a great song.
And folks, again, let's put ourselves in the position of seeing that single vision in our lives. And that is one of the tremendous ways to make a marriage very successful. We had a call from Sam in Indiana, and he was mentioning that his parents are married for 52 years in our society that doesn't seem to focus on marrying anymore, but just shacking up, just living together. And it just takes so much away from the beauty of what is there in marriage.
Well, God created us with free will, and everyone does have the choice to do it the way of the world or God's way.
And God's way, I'll tell you, again, I've been married for 31 years. We unfortunately don't have time for Trisha's third story. She's really disappointed. She's like cheering in the other room. But in 31 years of life with the one person, one of the things that impresses me most about that is, and this is the honest to goodness truth, and you know, folks, some of you might think it's corny, but I am, hands down, more in love now than I have ever been because I know her so much better than I ever did. And we've been through a lot of stuff. And that stuff has just drawn us closer together. And one of the reasons that works is Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. Right in the middle.
Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken.
So it's talking about two are better than one, two can do this and two can do that. Then it says a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And that third strand is weaving God into your life. God is what binds you together. And when you put that third strand in, you have something that can be, in this world, indestructible. And that's one of the biggest secrets of marriage, is God first. The other secret that we haven't even talked about, which is a huge secret, is commitment. And Kathy, to me, commitment is one of those things that we need to really, really, really focus on. Because if we're committed, nothing else matters. Look, Kathy, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Jonathan, for having me.
It's been great having you here. Great subject. Folks, look, marriage is a lifetime commitment, a promise made before God. The potential of a marriage is to give you a happy, peaceful, tranquil, exciting, wonderful life if you focus on doing your part and then allow your spouse to focus on doing their part. If we would just take the principles given to us in Scripture and put them in place and dedicate ourselves to them, marriage can be something that others can look at and say, I wish I was like that. For Kathy and Rick, it's Christian Questions. Do check us out on Facebook. Leave your comments there on Facebook or the blog. We'd love to hear what you think, especially about this particular subject. We're talking about staying in love.